right, everybody, welcome back into the Five Hole Taxi Squad Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We are back tonight on March 12th, a fine Tuesday evening. We are here for your weekend 22 weekend preview. So I guess I can't ask Jay because he's not here and he's still on holidays. So Alan, start up those fares and let's get into it.
My turn.
Right, hello everybody out there in listener land, and welcome in to your week 22 weekend preview. It is still just Alan and I holding down the van cab with Jay on holidays and Maddie K now sick after his return from holidays. So welcome back home to the East Coast and Canada. Maddie K and family, get well soon. Jay, we will see you next week. So it's just me and you, Alan, once again in this large van cab. How are we doing, buddy, on this fine Tuesday evening? What's going
on? Well, unfortunately, I picked the wrong time to realize that a 12-foot ladder is a little bit outside my comfort zone. It was a great adventure at work today.
Oh, nice. So you got up there and you're like, shit, why am I up here? Well, you know, everybody finds new experiences all the time, regardless, even if you're scared shitless.
Right? I conquered my fear, and then eventually the adrenaline just made it all seem normal.
Yeah, so you did it. So you accomplished your feat, and you got your day done, and now you're sitting here in the warm and cozy van cab about to talk about the Week 22 weekend preview for the people out there.
Which is its own 12-foot ladder.
So the taxi squad is a little bit downed in terms of our line mates, but Alan and I are holding it down for you out there in listener land. So why don't we dive in, buddy, and take the people through and spin the van cab around. You know, we're gonna keep it casual and short and sweet for those trying to either clinch their playoff berths or ruin somebody's playoff hopes, or maybe even clinch some buys out there in those tighter standing leagues that people may be still battling for the first or second seed. So maybe we can help you out there in listener land lock in those victories and have a nice smooth sailing into the sunset in the van cab with us as you start your quarterfinals next week. If you do not start your quarterfinals next week, we will still discuss it from a regular season standpoint. If you are starting your final week of your regular season, where your quarters start in week 24, we will still discuss it from both vantage points heading into next week's shows, right? I think I got that right? We're taking the van cab for a little, you know, loop-de-loop, doing some figure eights here, trying to figure out the mathematics of how regular season ends and playoffs begin. But let's do like we always do, Alan, and we'll spin the van cab around the league for what are the news and notes and injuries that we have come across over the last 48 hours. Hasn't even really been 48 hours because we recorded on Sunday. So why don't we check out the injury report? Pretty big one for those that have been relying on him for the majority of the season, including the real-life Vancouver Canucks. But Thatcher Demko is now out 2 to 3 weeks with a knee injury. Looks like it's going to be more on the 3-week window from the reports I read this morning. Alan, what say you on Casey DeSmith being the savior of not only the Vancouver Canucks over the next, let's say, 3 to maybe 4 weeks now, if he's on the further end of this injury spectrum, and potentially the savior of some fantasy hockey teams out there that have been relying on Demko at Vezina caliber?
Yeah, see, the only reason I didn't grab him where I could is I think they only have 2 games this week, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
So one of them's against the Abs, so I'm like, no, I'm not playing that version of Russian roulette. I mean, next week I like that schedule though. Buffalo, Montreal, Calgary. I don't know. If you can make it through this week without picking him up, he's definitely worth a look next week, I think.
Yeah, I was looking at that myself too, and I think too, like if you've always been like I did it in a matchup this week where I'm on the bubble for a playoff spot, I don't usually carry 3 goalies in that league because it's a categories league, but I did it with Jonathan Quick this week because there wasn't a lot of promising upside players or guys that contribute in hits or blocks at a high level. So I was like, I got to get some games played somewhere, right? And Quick just happened to be sitting there. So I swapped him out for Gostisbehere for this week's matchup. And, you know, he won last night with 918. So it's paying off so far. So I would agree with you. If my strategy with the Smith is if you were considering a third goalie or you're fully stacked on heavy nights next week and it's an extremely important week for you, or it's your quarterfinals and you're trying to figure out how you can get some games played, I would grab DeSmith for sure, either if you have an ad left on Sunday or first thing Monday morning as your third goalie, right? Because most likely guys that are in the playoffs now or trying to clinch at this point probably have their set too. So you're probably not going to drop one of those guys for a DeSmith. Now it's time to kind of look at your rosters and see who's expendable, because this is really, as Jay would say, this is like Jay's Super Bowl right now. Stanley Cup. He can just cut bait on anybody right now. This is what Jay's mentality is. It's if you need to do something to make it, or you need to do something to win in your quarterfinals next week, you got to do what you got to do, right? To get games played, to get to win categories, to optimize your potential for winning, even if you're the low seed facing the third seed in the quarters. You got to do what you got to do, and DeSmith may be that option for you going into next week, but I'm sure we can talk about that in more detail on the week 23 week preview. Okay, so let's keep spinning the Van Cab around here. Jacob Markstrom now for the Calgary Flames is day-to-day with a lower body injury, something to monitor with the Flames now kind of scuffling. They kind of had a really interesting day-to-day. Andrew Mangiapane is out with illness. And then I saw a late report heading into warmups that Andrei Kuzmenko is now day-to-day with a upper body injury, and he was scratched. So the Flames are just a fish out of water, just flapping around trying to figure out what's going on. Now, I would guess your opinion of Dan Vladar moving forward, if this is something more severe for Markstrom, is a little bit different than DeSmith.
Yeah, well, not even this week, because tonight they play the Abs. Even though they're up 2-1 right now, and then they play Vegas on Thursday, and then Friday they have the Habs, but I don't know if they give that one to Vladar or maybe Wolf since he's up. Yeah, this one was kind of weird because I guess he was quoted as being the starter today, and then just midday they're like, nope, day to day, we recalled Wolf.
Yeah, and I found that weird as well. The same with Kuzmenko. Like, I saw that he was scratched earlier in the day, and then he got this upper body injury designation. So like, I don't know if the Flames are just like completely pulling the plug and trying to get their, you know, quote unquote better players some rest, and maybe they're just not going to play everybody down the stretch here. But yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was a bit of a strange one. Now, our final injury before we get to some good news, I guess, Artturi Lehkonen, he did not play in the Avalanche-Calgary game tonight. He's still considered day-to-day with an illness, but he is with the team on this current four-game road trip. So I would expect he could be back for Thursday's game, if I'm not mistaken. I would imagine he's expected to play at some point on this road trip, or he wouldn't be there. But he didn't play again tonight. That elevated your boy Nichushkin to the top line and the top power play, so that's a nice little bumper for those that have him in the lineup.
Druin lives another day.
Oh, God. I saw them on the broadcast, man, talking about Druin and McKinnon being BFFs. And, like, Druin picks up McKinnon and drives him to games and practices. And I'm like, maybe he's not going to get off that line and not get off power play one because McKinnon and him.
He does McKinnon's laundry.
Yeah, like, he's McKinnon's chauffeur, so like, you don't want to piss off McKinnon.
I mean, it's too bad it doesn't translate to NHL points, because he's still on like a 40-45 point pace.
Is this another scenario? Because it's a perfect transition, because we're going to talk about Crosby's BFF, who made his debut tonight with the Carolina Hurricanes in Jake Guentzel, but they got shut out 1-0 by the New York Rangers. So much, and Shesterkin, so much, at least in the debut, for added scoring. And he debuted on the second line with Kuznetsov and Necas. So at least in the initial small sample size, I nailed that where he would debut.
Hey man, I nailed Kuznetsov would be on line two eventually.
You did? We both nailed it. It's just a line painted with the taxi squad. So I'm impressed. But he also debuted, like, here you go. Here's what we answered the other day. He also debuted on the second power play unit. So Brind'Amour Blender, yeah, just up the rear of one of the better goal scorers in the league. It's something to watch, right? He only had one shot on goal. He's only skated 15-12, two hits, one block. So not the best debut, and certainly not Kuznetsov and Gensel were supposed to be there to help them score more. And then
right. Although, again, like, he just came back from injury. I wonder if this is another Timo Meier situation where they're not going to get the value they thought they would.
Yeah, at least they – well, I shouldn't say that because New Jersey had an out – and then they gave him 8 years,
right,
with an extension. So who knows what Carolina's not known for long extensions, other than the extension they just gave Aho last year. So it'd be interesting to see what they end up doing with Jake Gensel, especially really not giving up any hardcore assets for him, right? All right, well, that's it from around the league and the infirmary. So, Alan, why don't you take the people through how we can lock in some W's for them tonight, this week, in week 22. So we're looking at the weekend schedule out there, everybody, from Thursday through Sunday. So we're going to give you the best teams to target from a streaming standpoint, and then Alan's going to take you through our top streamers, our goalie suggestions in terms of 0G, Hero G, and then our big boy bangers, our triple Bs. Before I jump on the wheel again, take you through a Cole's Notes version of the deeper strategy to the week 22 weekend that Jay would normally do.
Cole's Notes? Is that like the Canadian version of Cliff's Notes? Or
Cole's Notes, I guess, is if Cliff's Notes in the States is short form and like summarization, then yes, Cole's Notes would be the Canadian version of Cliff's
Today
Notes.
Today I learned. But yeah, schedule, the Friday, Sunday sweet spot teams are Anaheim, Chicago, Winnipeg. The only other team playing on Friday is LA. And then Sunday, man, it must be like right under half the league because we got Carolina, Columbus, Detroit, New Jersey, New York Islanders and Rangers, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, San Jose, St. Louis, and Vegas. Now for streamers, I know Craig's giving me crap for this one already. Michael Bunting, he's only 28% owned. He was slid right into Gensel's old spot. He had Pittsburgh's lone goal tonight. Ignore the Pens being outscored 15-1 in their last three, but he is line one, power play one for the Pens now. And if you didn't hold on to any Winnipeg players, you can still grab some of these guys. Adam Lowry, center only 16%. He's currently 6 points in six games. I mean, he's line three, so definitely not a long-term hold for you, but someone who gets those extra games played for you. And then, dude, I don't know how this guy got under 50% owned, but Boone Jenner, he should not be less than 50% in any league.
What are we doing, like, people? Papa Boone?
And he's like probably the one guy who's going to score on that team. Goalies, big save Dave Riddick, 18%. He just got a 26 save shutout versus St. Louis. Should definitely get a start in the back-to-back they have this weekend, hopefully against Chicago. Kaapo Kähkönen of Jersey, it appears he is definitely the starter as Jake Allen is still working on his visa. And like we said in the trade deadline show, most likely Allen is the backup, or they do some kind of 1A, 1B rotation until one of them gets hot or Kähkönen just shits himself. He did put up a 9-2-0 against the Rangers. They lost that game, but if Jersey only had one goal, that was not a problem with the goalie. I definitely think he's worth a pickup, especially because he kept the Sharks from tanking too hard night in and night out. And then Joel Hofer, St. Louis, 7%. I likely see Anaheim on Sunday. And then big boy bangers, Dylan.
You son of a bitch.
Defenseman. He is a 24% reliable source of hits on Winnipeg. And I'm surprised he made this list when I was looking, sorting by hits. David Perron.
He's actually been sneaky good with hits lately. Yeah. So that's a nice snipe.
He's a nice like multi-cat coverage, man. Left wing, right wing, 31%. Hits in his last four game are 3.843.
He might be the only positive thing going for the Wings right now.
Oh man, they got shelled tonight. But that was nice for me. I picked up Bo and Byram in one spot. And again, he shoots a lot, so nice point upside there. And Sean Corrali, a Columbus center, only 1% owned. Hits with the occasional shot and block. And if you take he takes faceoffs. So if you're in a faceoffs league, he provides that coverage for you too. So let's hand it back over to Craig and we'll do a little deeper dive.
Okay, I'm gonna try to do Jay some justice here and a deeper dive for the people out there. And what we're going to call this section instead of strategy is we're gonna call this Hawkeye Check-in Very Under-Rostered in the teams you identified to target for over the weekend schedule for this Thursday through Sunday. And then we're going to go even deeper into a couple of the Sunday streams that will just be flyers for either category coverage or potential opportunities to sneak a couple more points in there. But like really my caveat here from a strategy standpoint, when we get to the Thursday, Saturday, Sunday teams is only pick these guys up if you are in dire need and you can fit them into your roster. Do not drop somebody if you're in a playoff position that you will need over the quarters and semis versus these individuals we're going to talk about now. But before I dive into that, you mentioned a player that I just want to talk about for a second.
Yes.
Because although he's not a streamable option for the weekend preview, the man is ridiculously hot right now since his debut with his new team. I, too, was able to get him in two leagues. He's still only 35% rostered. Everybody, please stop what you are doing if you are listening to this tomorrow and go see if Bowen Byram is still available in your leagues. Since his debut with Buffalo, he has not had less than 23 minutes time on ice. He has 3 goals, 1 assist in 3 games. He has 11 shots in that time, 6 hits and 1 block. And he's still playing at even strength on the top pairing with Dahlin. He scored twice tonight in their game against Detroit in that blowout. He, like you said, he's shooting at a good clip. This is definitely, I think I even mentioned it on the trade deadline show, this is definitely a guy that can help every single team in their playoff run, especially in week 24 when Buffalo's the only team that has 2 off nights and that week sucks unless your full stack of busy nights is just all studs because you can't optimize games played, you can't optimize your streaming people unless you have people from Buffalo. So if it ain't Cousins, it's Byram. Go get him now. So that's a PSA from the taxi squad because he's still only 35% rostered at this time. I wish I could have got him in a couple of other
spots. I kind of want to call it now. I feel like this is one of those guys that you pick up at this time of the year that is a difference maker.
100%, man. Like, if especially at a position like D,
yeah,
where you've got some scarcity, you've got some guys that have kind of fallen off that were valuable assets, you know, throughout the season, like a Thomas Harley from the Stars, like he's fallen completely off in terms of relevancy. Like I've made that swap in two leagues, Harley for Byram, is almost as soon as that trade happened, because I was looking for an option, right? You know, similar to Seth Jones. Like, I know I bash Chicago all the time. He's more highly owned, but he could be just a just-go-check guy. He's been pretty hot since he got PP1 back and since Bedard came back, and he's also back up at, like, that 24-minute time on ice. Those are the types of guys, even on bad teams, that you want going into your playoffs. I think we even talked about it over our weekend shows. This is the time where you want hot guys. Like, if there's people not doing, like, peripheral players on your roster going into playoffs right now that aren't doing much, and there's somebody spicy hot like Byram, you got to go get him. Because, like you said, that's a difference maker for you to get over the top or get over the hump or get to the finals or beat somebody in your league you've never beaten before in the playoffs. Like, that's how it's done. I faced it last year in my home league. Hottest team in our league didn't get hot until a week before playoffs, and then he scorched earth the playoffs because his team just was so hot. And I think he picked up four guys right before the playoffs that were part of that. So you have to capitalize on one of those guys that are out there. And I agree with you. Byram is definitely one of them. So that's our rant on Byram and hot guys. But let's get into a little bit deeper here. So as Alan mentioned, you have your Thursday, Friday, Sunday. So two off nights remaining. Unfortunately, I guess, or fortunately, the only team that has that schedule where you can get players for Friday, Sunday. And I'm laughing, but it may actually make the difference in your matchups, is Anaheim. Now, if you dig a little deeper at who could be available, and I'm not going to like any of these names. Alan's not going to like any of these names. But they could help you because of the off-night schedule. If you're looking for an advantage on games played, this is the only team where you for sure can fit these guys in two out of the three remaining games in the week. I would say just go check on Troy Terry. He's line two, power play one. He's 39% rostered. Look, he's been pretty cold lately. He's not even really shooting the puck at the same clip, but he's their best player. If anybody's going to like has that higher ceiling opportunity in those three games, it's him. I didn't look at who they're playing, Alan, over that time period.
It's not pretty. Well, you know what? Minnesota could be anything. Those crazy dogs.
It depends who shows up in that game, I guess, from the Minnesota side.
Winnipeg, I don't like that. I mean, maybe if they play Brossoit, he might let a couple by him. But if they play Hellboy, nope. And then St. Louis on Sunday, maybe. Again, that's another team that any given night they could let seven in or they could let none in.
Yeah, didn't they? Who'd they beat yesterday? 5-1.
Was it the Bruins? I was
like, what the? Yeah, the in Boston too. Like the mirage of St. Louis continues. But again, this is the only team you can target for an advantage in games played. So we want to give you some deeper cuts here. Oh, God, I can't even believe I'm going to say this guy's name.
Yo.
So Alex Killorin, left wing, right wing, 22% rostered, line one, power play one since the Henrique trade. Actually, Alan, you mentioned even before he was on power play one, before Henrique was put trade. But now he is their hottest player. He has 4 points in their last five. We don't have to go into his shots on goal rate. He doesn't do anything from a hits and blocks thing. So this would be solely a points player to me if you're in a points league. Just because he's a hot guy right now over his last five. Hottest guy on the Ducks. Getting premium deployment.
You just got to be ready to drop him. This is what Killorn does.
Oh, yeah.
He gets hot for a stretch at some point.
This is streaming him to get the games played advantage and then maybe even dropping him on Sunday for somebody else if he doesn't do anything Friday, Saturday for you, if you can fit him in both those days, which you definitely should be able to fit him in on Friday. And then similar, Ryan Strome, second hottest guy on the team right now, left wing, right wing, 11% rostered, line two, power play one, 3 points in his last five on 8 shots on goal. I only mentioned the shots on goal for Strome because that's actually a lot for him. Again, he doesn't do anything hits and blocks wise, has a little bit more value in a faceoffs league, but again, we want to dig a little deeper here and see who we can get from the Ducks because of the games played advantage for you to hopefully lock in those W's. Now, if you go a little bit further and you can fit one of those Thursday, Saturday, Sunday players in, there's a little bit more opportunity from a Hawkeye standpoint. Now, I looked at Carolina. There isn't really much there.
And Turbo, surprisingly, is under 50%.
Yeah, so Turbo is just go check, but like he's not been super hot right now. He doesn't have power play one, even though he's on line one with Aho and Svechnikov, so just go check with him. But again, he'd be a guy that I would only pick up if I can fit him in for two out of those three games. I wouldn't pick him up and bench somebody else that's on my regular, you know, starter roster unless I'm really desperate for the Sunday, but you could always just pick him up on the Sunday. If you go into Columbus, you already mentioned Boone Jenner. There's a lot of other peripheral guys there, but I just wanted to highlight the hottest player on that team right now, which is really weird, but he is. And that's Alex Nylander, who they acquired from the Pittsburgh Penguins just before the trade deadline. He's left wing, right wing. He's 3% rostered. He's on line two. He's on power play one. In his last seven games, he has 7 points. And what Matty Kay and I love is the shots on goal. He has 24 shots on goal in those seven games, including 9 in his past two games, which hasn't yielded any points, but at least he's shooting the puck and he's on that power play one with Jenner, Gaudreau, Rawinski, and Boqvist. Line two is Sillinger and Texier. I guess that's their young kid line now, I guess. You know, Igor Chenkov is an option. He's lowly owned. He's on the top line with Jenner and Gaudreau. He's really been a hot and cold player all year. Does a little bit of peripheral things compared to Nylander, who does nothing. So he could give you some hit coverage. But if I had to go deeper with Columbus, I'd go Nylander, especially on Sunday if I could. You might even want to look at Adam Boqvist if you need a bump with defense, because he's lowly owned and he's on power play one. But at the end of the day, it is Columbus, so be careful. Other than Boone Jenner, if you can grab him, just be careful if you're streaming there. And then you go New York Islanders. Palmieri is interesting. Kyle Palmieri, he's cooled off a little bit over the last two games, but he's right wing only, so that might make it tough to fit him into your roster. But if you've got a peripheral winger that you've been considering dropping, this might be the time to consider just seeing if Palmieri can do anything for you over those three games or two out of the three that the Islanders have remaining. So he's only 19% rostered. He's line two, power play one. He's had that deployment all season. He has 6 points in his last five games on 11 shots on goal. You know, I picked him up in a couple of spots for this week. He hasn't done anything yet, but he has been pretty hot coming into this week. I would definitely consider him if you can fit him in your lineup. Detroit, I don't like, honestly.
I mean, Perron, but I...
Yeah, like you mentioned our top guy from that team. If you want to go JT Compher in a face-off league, that's probably the only place he has value, especially with Larkin out. I saw Foligno got hurt in that game. Compher's going to get even more time on ice over their next three. And he is with Kane and DeBrincat on the top line. But this team just looks like a disaster right now without Larkin. Like you said, they got shelled tonight again. The lion has been tamed. He is now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're holding him, drop him. Like, I think we both did where we had
him. I did. Yeah. 100%. And like, he's, you know, they shaved his mane off and they sent him packing out of his pride. And he's got his tail between his legs right now. It's an ugly scene in Detroit. So if you can't get Perron, like Alan suggested, I would definitely maybe consider Lucas Raymond. But I think he's just a just go check guy based on his ownership.
The only thing I don't like about Raymond is he has his floor is zero. If he doesn't score or get an assist, his floor is like that. Floor is zero.
Like, Ghost is an option if you really want it, because he's been okay lately from a points perspective, but that's really all he does, just like Raymond. And then, like I said, in a face-offs league, maybe you want to consider JT Compher, but again, another guy doesn't really do anything. He blocks occasionally, but he's not really going to contribute from a points perspective, and that team is just, they're not good right now. They really need their captain back badly. Devils, I looked at this a little bit. There isn't really much options there. You could go Eric Halla, still remains under-owned. He's on line two with Jack Hughes and Jesper Bratt, but he doesn't really see any power play time. He's on their second unit, but that unit's not really getting rolled right now. Rangers, Lafreniere, you can check, and Roslovic, just because of their proximity. Lafreniere would be more just go check. I would imagine somebody's already streaming him this week because of the five-game week. Maybe it's Roslovic you would be looking at over the weekend schedule if you can fit him in. He's center right wing eligible. He's still up with Zibanejad and Kreider at even strength. Hasn't done anything in the two games since his debut, but with that proximity to Zibanejad and Kreider, you know, you never know when he's going to walk backwards into some points for you. Especially if you're looking for some games played. Ottawa, I'm not even going to talk about Ottawa. They are even they're even a worse situation than Detroit right now. Somehow playing even worse hockey than what's going on with the Wings. But like, if you really wanted to go somewhere, you know, Shane Pinto's still widely available. Line one, power play one with Batherson and Tkachuk. And Matthew Joseph is in the top six, but nah, he doesn't really do anything. His hit rate, I checked before we jumped on, has drastically dropped in the second half of the season. But those would be two top six options for you. Actually, Pinto's not even on the first power play unit, so... Ugh. And then Pittsburgh, again, like, ugh. Like, they're even worse. The only guy that I noticed there that's been okay has been Riley Smith, but that's just because of his shots on goal rate. Rust has looked rusty since his return. I think we talked about it over the weekend. Ricky Rax has disappeared and getting like 12 minutes time on ice. So yeah, maybe Rust, maybe, and Riley Smith has been one of their hottest players, but really, what does that mean? Because they haven't really been scoring at all. I would stick to your recommendation and grab Bunting if he's available, absolutely. And then last, but certainly not least, because they're two of the hot guys, hottest guys out there, actually, and both of them do a little bit of peripheral stuff, from San Jose, Fabian Zetterlund, left wing only, 3% rostered. Line one, power play one. He has 6 points in his last seven on 19 shots on goal. He's also hitting at about two hits per game over that span. And then Michael Granlund gets that nice bump with Couture out again and Hurdle out of town. Right.
And they said Couture is done for the season, so Granlund has no competition.
So I would target him because he's got that flexibility, the center right wing eligibility, 19% rostered. 8 points in his last seven on 13 shots on goal.
And I really like the San Jose take because they have some very winnable games, or at least teams that are going to let some in. They got Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago. Yeah, yeah. Don't tell me those guys aren't going to let a few in.
So there you go on your deep look at Hawkeye check-in here. You maybe want to target those, that Fabian Zetterlund and Michael Granlund, if you can fit them into your lineup. But honestly, I would. Who's the Sunday?
Chicago.
Even it, because I guarantee you, if they don't get picked up now, they'll be available Sunday. Bam, bam. Two ads right there. Save them. You get a little bit more ceiling upside with those two guys running hot, getting top line, top power play deployment. They're both getting over 20 minutes time on ice right now. They're both shooting at a good, healthy clip. Like, that's, man, I'm going to have to go check to see if I can stream them in a couple spots right now.
That's what this guy might take a look at, Granlund.
Well, you're still in the bubble in the listener.
I know, like, I know. I need Jay to come through for me this week. That's the only way I'm making it.
You got to get Jay to win, and you got to put up a respectable number yourself so you're not going into the, if you make it, into the playoffs flat. All right, buddy, what else you got? That's all I got from a little deeper look. You got anything while I was spitballing?
I think that was it, man. Like, I'm glad we touched on Byram. Like, I feel like he's difference maker, and I almost wonder if he keeps this deployment up, has like a, I don't know, like a Tage-style breakout back half of the season, that he gets overdrafted next season.
Did we check when we saw that trade? Yeah, but is he an RFA or is he under contract? Because that'll make things interesting in the offseason. Let's see here. A little cap-friendly dig in here.
So good, even GMs use it.
Yeah, he's an RFA after this year. So that's he's still under control. Oh, no, sorry. They have two more years of control with him. So he's in Buffalo. He's not an RFA till 2025, 2026. So that's a very nice value if he can hold this deployment.
I mean, maybe not keeper level, but definitely someone you target. We're talking way too early, but someone like maybe gets picked up pretty early compared to where he would have been drafted this season. But I don't know. I feel like it could be fool's gold. Like I said, he just goes nuts the last part of the season here and like gets overdrafted next season.
Let's just run him while he's hot for the playoffs, right? Wherever you can pick him. Like 35% owned means he's still available in over 60% of leagues. Like, you got to grab him. Unfortunately for me, he got snatched up because I'm in a lot of highly competitive leagues. He got snatched up real quick. So I was happy to get him in a couple of leagues. I think that's it, man. We got a nice and short and sweet weekend preview. That's a beautiful thing. Nice and fast for the people. Hopefully that gives them, you guys out there in listener land, some opportunity to capitalize and lock in your victories. I guess I'm going to go enjoy the rest of the slate of games tonight, my friend. So as always, we please like and subscribe and leave us 5 stars wherever you get your fine podcasts. It helps us get the show out to new ears, and we really appreciate your support for those that do listen and have followed along with the Taxi Squad journey. Follow and interact with us all on Twitter/X. You can find myself and Alan's and Jay's and Maddie K's handles in the show notes. We also invite those that maybe are new to the show to join the five-hole Discord channel. It's 2,500 plus strong, like-minded fantasy hockey individuals talking all things fantasy hockey and life in general. We are all in there active, trying to answer as many questions as we can. So we definitely invite you, if you're not there, to get in there and reach out to us if you have any fantasy hockey questions, especially leading into your playoffs. We want to at least help you guys out there become champions, even if we aren't in positions to be champions in our league. That's what we're here for, to try to help you out as best we can. So I guess that's it, buddy. We didn't waste a lot of gas. We don't have to charge people a lot on this fare. Why don't we shut her down? We'll thank everybody for listening as always. Why don't you turn off those fares, Alan? The Taxi Squad will be back real soon. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's all love. Good night.
Screw this. Let's get our own mojitos.
Yeah, who let these guys go on holidays? How come we don't get vacation? I'm going to talk to TJ, Zach, and Raj on this. I want a holiday. Oh, that's right. We'll pick you up later. What does Matty K say? Good talking hockey with you fellas.